I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
Reparenting is really showing up for yourself in a new way, giving yourself what you need, really listening, tuning in, doing the repair work, you know, creating those affirmations and doing the repair work. And it's very simple. It's just so simple. I mean, you can do it every day, all the time. It might be putting your hand on your chest, taking a deep breath in. Like, of course you're scared, or angry people scare you, or loud noises scare you. And just speaking to yourself like you would speak to a younger child.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 557 with guest Sabelle Beautran. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I, as usual, am so glad that you are here, that you have chosen to spend your time with me today and my guest, which I am excited for this topic and the guest. And it's a topic that I have personally been interested in for a while, throwing in a little inner child work. Inner teen work, which is so important, I believe, to getting to a great place in our life. Have you ever, side note, ADHD time warp, have you ever bit the inside of your mouth while you're eating, which shoots a pain so intense throughout your body that it, you know, can make your eye also twitch? Well, you bite it and then it creates like a mouth wound. Oh my God, I have one of those and I haven't had one in so long and it makes me talk weird, or at least I feel like I'm talking weird, like I can't move my mouth a certain way without it hurting. So, you know, if I have to endure the pain, you have to hear about it. I'm sorry, but if you're nodding your head, thank you for being able to relate to this pain. All right. As I said, this guest has been a long time coming. She's someone I've known for a very long time. You'll hear a little bit more about her in just a minute. But I also wanted to mention that I have a couple of openings for coaching this fall and winter. If anyone is interested in getting some extra support privately from yours truly, head on over to AndreaOwen.com/links. That's where you'll find all the important links that you might need, including the button to push to read more about my coaching packages, as well as fill out an application and see if it's right for you. The work that I do with women is very, I feel like intimate is the right word, but it's also not the right word because that feels very like inappropriate for a professional relationship. It's intimate in the way of we really dive into your life. You are a top priority with my schedule, with my time, with my energy, with my expertise, my tools, my accountability. I have a client right now and I text her every single morning to see what's on her agenda for that day, because she's really wanting to have more productivity and stay on task and just create the momentum that she needs to be able to not have me in her life anymore once we're done working together. So that's just some quick examples of what's possible if we work together. AndreaOwen.com/links. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Sabelle Beautran is a She Recovers and Holistic Recovery Coach who works with sober or sober curious women who want to let go of people pleasing and perfectionism, build brave boundaries, and rediscover their inner child. She offers individual one-on-one coaching and workshops and is the creator of Reparent, a unique online group coaching experience. Her coaching practice encourages women to look inside and connect with their most tender selves. She is the mother of 3 adult children, has been married for 31 plus years, lives in Miami, Florida, and loves listening to podcasts while walking outside. So without further ado, here is Sabelle. Sabelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking me to be here.
I am so excited to have you on for many reasons. One is that you're a past client and I got to know your work from that. So, and that being said, another reason is like, I believe in this work so much. It's kind of like the reparenting thing is kind of a little bit of a buzzword these days. Is it having a moment?
You know, it's interesting. Someone just said to me yesterday, I keep hearing reparenting. And I feel like just a few months ago, someone told me like, no one knows what that is. So I feel like there are definitely people who are, you know, interested in reparenting and inner child work. And so, maybe it's having a moment.
Maybe it's having a moment. Well, I hope it does. And I hope that you are at the forefront of that because, again, this work is so important. And I'll say it from the beginning, and not that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about it. The way we originally know each other is from the circles of recovery. Mm-hmm. And so you are sober. How long have you been sober?
I just celebrated 12 years in July.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so we're about the same time, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Similar. I will, well, by the time this comes out, I will have 12 years in my mine's in September, the end of September.
Yeah, litter mates.
Literally. Very true. Yes. All right. Well, I first want to know, I get curious often when people do specific types of personal development work or, you know, different modalities is how they got super into it. So like, how did you find yourself in inner child work? And like, why did you decide to sort of run with it in your own practice as a coach and a healing facilitator?
Yeah. So, you know, I got sober 12 years ago, and a lot of the sober journey, once you remove the numbing agent, whatever that is, in my case, it was alcohol, there's kind of this opportunity to do deeper work, right? I am a She Recovers coach, so I'm very involved with She Recovers Foundation, and I love their retreats, and Taryn Strong is, for me, an amazing person and kind of creates spaces where I really feel like I can find myself. So I was on a recovery retreat with She Recovers in Canada 5 years ago. And suddenly my inner child appeared on the yoga mat in front of me, and she was pissed. She was so angry. Ooh. And she was about 9 years old. And when I say appear in front of me, I don't mean like I saw an apparition or anything. It's just I could sense it was her. And it was around the same time that Me Too had emerged again. Stranger Things had come out, and the character 11 was a very angry young girl. So it was a few things that kind of, I think, stirred things up for me. And that's what happened. So I got curious about why is that part of me coming up, and why is she so angry? And so a few months later, I started to dive into inner child work, which led me to the modality of reparenting myself. And I have found it to be the singular most powerful way to take good care of myself, to take care of my mental health, just thrive in sobriety, kind of go back and repair and give myself what I always needed.
I always like to hear you know, people's personal stories of like how they found this particular work. And I just want to kind of say just a really quick personal anecdote to tag on to what you said. And years ago, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people, and a handful of them talk about the trauma that we encounter as, you know, in our childhood and our family of origin. And when I would hear people talk about that, I always thought to myself, like, well, yeah, you know, that's, I can see why that would affect people later in life and whether they struggle with addiction or not. But I never could relate when people would talk about having, you know, like their 9-year-old self. And I was like, well, I had it pretty easy until I was a teenager, and never really thought that that counted, you know, because we hear inner child a lot. And like, I think of a child up until, you know, like 13-ish, and then you become a teenager, like you're still a child, but it's just different. And all of my trauma is definitely inner teenager for sure. And so I just wanted to put that out there. You know, if people, some people have trauma as in from childhood and inner teenager, but I think it can feel a little bit different. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. And also I want to say, like, if you had heard me in 2011 tell my recovery story, it would have been like, I had a great childhood. My dad died when I was in second grade. And that was it.
Oh my God.
And that was it. You know, like everything was great. My family was really close. So it's
except for that major trauma.
But not only that, though, it was like over time, I was like, oh, and I experienced bullying. Oh, the family enmeshment. Oh, you know, like untreated mental health situation. So I think it takes time to figure out what your particular, you know, the reasons that you felt abandoned or misunderstood or alone or mm-hmm. scared, you know,
right. and or not heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not comparing it to kind of this idea of what trauma is, but your own particular experiences that are very true to yourself. So I think that's mm-hmm. part of the evolution as well. And then I love yeah. that you talked about the inner teen, because when I think of little Savelle, she's anywhere, she's usually around like 8 or 9, but sometimes people feel their inner child at like 2 or 3, all the way up to, I would say, like 10 or 11. And then this inner teen energy emerges, which is really different. And it took me a while to distinguish, you know, to really hear the inner teen. And they're very different from each other. Mm-hmm. My inner teen, when she comes out, she's usually feeling really sassy. She's swearing. Yeah. She is mad, super mad about stuff.
Super mad.
And mm-hmm. she has, you know, like no tolerance. It's just like, ew. Well, the little the inner child is also like, ew, as well. mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see how it would have a little bit different energy. So I want to shift gears slightly and ask you about, like, what is it, like, generally speaking, what does it mean to reparent? I know we're going to get into the acronym, but before we do that, like, mm-hmm. can you, like, when people ask you, like, what is that? What does it mean? What do you do? What is it? What is reparent?
So to reparent is to show up for yourself in your adult body, finally attuned to your inner parts, so that, you know, similar to Internal Family Systems by Richard Schwartz, mm-hmm. that the idea is that you have these different parts that developed at different times in your life. And we all can relate to parts because we're like, a part of me really wants to do this, or.
Yeah, we say that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of understandable that we would have different parts. And the idea of reparenting is that you become your own inner loving parent. So you become, sometimes we call this the wise mind self, the higher self. You know, so mm-hmm. it's, we kind of understand this concept, the universal, like, loving Uber mama self or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. So we get to provide for ourselves as adults what we needed as a child or what we even need right now. And so if this is really turning away from that kind of punishing critical mind self, which is also called the inner critic,
right?
Turning, you know, when we come into recovery, a lot of times our inner critic is huge and the part of us that's compassionate and can feel compassion and self-compassion is very small, not as developed. Yeah. Everybody has that. We have that towards animals. We have that towards young children where we feel that, you know.
The elderly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we do have that. It's just the idea is that we're developing that part of ourselves so it increases and gets larger towards ourselves. So that our inner critic, which we don't want to, you know, ostracize and kick off the island because no parts are bad. That's internal mm-hmm. family systems. So the inner critic we just see as our protector. You know, and different people mm-hmm. call this ego or, you know, but that protective part, it's kind of, you know, nice to think of her as just like kind of a little bit the way I think of her is like a little bit clumsy and doesn't, you know, she's like, stop it or don't act like a baby. She doesn't have that right mm-hmm. words, but her intentions are good. And then the reparenting is really showing up for yourself in a new way, giving yourself what you need, really listening, tuning in. Mm-hmm. Doing the repair work, you know, creating those affirmations and doing the repair work. And it's very simple. It's just so simple. I mean, you can do it every day, all the time. It might be putting your hand on your chest, taking a deep breath in. Like, of course you're scared or, angry people scare you or loud noises scare you. And just speaking to yourself like you would speak to a younger child.
Okay. So I would love to, because I know you have a program, we can talk about that at the end, the Reparent program. I know that, and it's also an acronym, which we love a good acronym, you know, easy to remember, easy to walk through. So can we spend the rest of our time together walking us through each of those letters and what they mean in terms of your own healing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I had one of those, you know, sudden downloads that I could take the word.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. Just like tuned in and I could take the word reparent and turn it into an acronym. And so that's what I did. And so the first letter is R, which is reparent. So reparenting, as I just explained, is showing up for yourself in a whole new way. And so it's really about taking care of your own needs for safety, love, and belonging so that we're not like outwardly focused and expecting others to do that. That doesn't mean that we can't be in relationships where we ask for our needs and we're in community, but we're really moving away from blaming others. Like, you're scaring me because you're doing this or you're not doing this right, but we're turning inwards and we're meeting our own needs for safety, love, and belonging. As Kelly McDaniels, who wrote Mother Hunger, says, you know, a young child has the needs for nurturance. So nurturing, protection, and then later on as kind of a tween and a teen, the guidance where they need the role modeling. And so we're doing that for ourselves as well. We're nurturing ourselves, we're protecting ourselves and guiding ourselves. So the letter R is really about just what is reparenting and how does it work? It can also involve, you know, discovering the inner child and the inner teen. Although it's really important to develop the inner loving parent part of yourself because the inner child and the inner teen kind of might be in hiding. And so they might not want to kind of come out until you start building that self-trust.
Can you give an example of what that might look like? You know, if you're taking someone through this, you know, either privately or in a group and that happens, like the inner child and inner teen don't want to come out, what might that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I really start with, I actually have a class called Inner Child Work for Beginners, and I start with just whatever is you're experiencing is what you're experiencing. So a lot of times,
and it's not wrong.
Yeah,
right?
Like, there's no right or wrong way. It's just your experience. So a lot of people, when they hear the word inner child or the words inner child, or they think of an inner child or they hear an inner child work, they might feel frozen, completely frozen. Like, I don't have any memories from childhood.
Yeah. I've talked to some people who feel that way.
Yeah.
Who experience that.
Or like my inner child is in the deep freeze, or my inner child is hiding behind the sofa, you know, just completely away in the attic. They're not coming out. They might feel anger, furious, angry. Like when you say the words inner child, Sabelle, I feel so angry. I've heard that. Some people feel really scared. Like, I don't want to know the stuff. I don't want to remember the stuff. So I'm afraid of doing this work. Some people feel grossed out. They're like, ew, like, oh, that's a weird term from the 80s and I don't trust it.
Yeah.
like
hippie therapist.
Yeah, hippie, yeah. Pseudo, you know. So some people feel grossed out. Some people feel really sad and some people feel curious or something else. So I always start with whatever you're feeling is what you're feeling. Like, that is completely normal. And so if somebody is saying, I can't find my inner child, or I don't, or my inner child doesn't want to interact with me, because we do like a guided meditation and different exercises. You know, you get young pictures of yourself when you're younger, and we do journaling. We do all of these activities. It's just about acceptance and really, you know, cultivating that inner trust. One way that I recommend listening to yourself, you know how you listen to yourself and then you override it and you do something else.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just noting
all the time. Yeah. It's like one of my hobbies.
Right. So it's just like those little ways that you can listen to yourself and then actually follow through. And then mm-hmm. that's starting to build that self-trust. Like you're a reliable adult in my life. You okay. can, I can count on you. You're the adult in the room. You're trustworthy, you know, and that's following mm-hmm. through with your intentions or what you want.
That reminds me of something that happened to me. We need to take a quick ad break. I'm going to tell you the story of what happened, like when my dad died in 2016. We'll be right back.
Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then Songfinch, musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Okay, so in 2016, and the reason I remember this is because I just had to re-listen to one of my old podcast episodes where I was talking about this on the show. And quick up to speed, my dad died in 2016. I was the only one with him in the room when it happened. We knew he was dying. He was in hospice. And when I was talking about it on the podcast, and I'm crying and I'm telling this story, and it was pretty fresh and new. And I said, when it happened, I felt like I suddenly turned into this little girl and I was looking for the adults in the room. Like, I was 41 years old, but I was in such a grown-up situation, like in the room with my dead dad, and was like, I am not capable enough to be able to handle this and make decisions. Because the hospice nurse had asked me, like, when she was walking out the door, do you want the door closed? Because they were going to leave me with him for a little while, like as long as I needed. And it was like the hardest question to answer in my life. And I was like, just sort of like, I'd been like a rabbit that had gotten like hit over the head, just like stunned. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, but I need a grown-up here to make those kind of decisions and to tell me what to do next mm-hmm. with as I lay here with my father who is, you know, on his literal deathbed. So that what you just said reminded me of that, of like, you know, wanting to be able to feel like when you don't, at the time, you don't have the coping skills to deal with whatever it is that's going on. That was a moment where I was like, a little bit of dissociation.
Yeah.
Like, so it just was interesting. Anyway, so yeah, that's the R.
Yeah, that's, can I just say, I think I heard, yeah, I heard that podcast and your brain doesn't know time and space. You can go back and remember. Oh. So you could say to little Andrea, like, this is so scary for you and hard for you, and be the grown up and say, I'll take care of shutting the door. You can go back and redo that. And it's like this huge mm-hmm. relief. Like there was somebody there. You can go back and redo that.
Yeah.
In your brain.
I actually wrote a poem about it because one of my cathartic exercises to get me through moments like that is writing. And I wrote a poem and I said something about how a part of me broke off, you know, mm-hmm. again, parts work. I felt like a part of me broke off and walked over into the corner and crouched down and put her hands over her ears and screamed as she was trying to turn back time. Mm. I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And like, and I think I said at the end of that poem, like that little girl is still there in the corner of the room.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I like to write poems too, to get my feelings out. I love doing that too. Yeah. Okay. So that little girl can go be, you know, she can get a hug. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're moving on to E.
So what's the E?
So E is ease. And this is so important because ease is about the body. So the first mm-hmm. thing we want to do, you know, when we're looking at reparent, we want to look at it holistically. So the mind, the body, the emotions, and the spiritual, or mind, body, and soul, or spirituality, whatever spirituality is for the person. So ease is the body. And the idea is to create that internal safety. Sometimes we do not feel safe inside our own body, and this could take years. This could take a lot of work, but we really want to be working on that kind of somatic piece of finding that internal safety, and that will create that self-trust and the sense of ease. So just noticing the sensations, noticing like, oh, you know, I'm going into a crowded place, or there's a lot of noises here, or this TV show or this podcast or this experience is making me feel uneasy, or this conversation, mm-hmm. how is it showing up in my body? How is it showing up in my chest, in my stomach, temperature, you know, really checking in, and then using that breath work or meditation or mindfulness to create that sense of ease. It's really hard to be quiet with yourself. You know, when you first come into recovery, how busy we keep all the time. I still do. Like that's one of my coping mechanisms, stay really busy. I used to not like to be alone. Now I love it. But, mm-hmm. you know, just being quiet with yourself. So ease is really about finding safety and self-regulation. The other part of it is if you grew up in a home that was not self-regulated, or you weren't being co-regulated with. So if your home was chaotic, or there was addiction, or people were just really busy working all the time, or for whatever the stressors were due to overwork or poverty or racism, or, you know, all different experiences that people might have, they could have create a home that did not feel safe. You're really going to want to create that internal safety now as an adult, you know, and just let your inner parts know, I'm here now, you're safe now. So that's ease.
I like the concept of ease. So what is the P?
P is protect. And like I said, that, you know, essential parts of childhood are nurture, protect, and guidance. So protect is really learning how to protect your time, your physical body, your mind, what are you ingesting and looking at, your emotions, like getting to know your emotions. You know how we come in with just like, or, you know, a lot of people I myself had three emotions when I first got sober. It was either sad, happy, or mad, or, you know, like it was very limited. And then I saw that feelings wheel and I was like, oh my gosh, there's all this nuance, you know, there could be like melancholy or, you know, disappointment. And so just really getting to protect and know your different emotions and, protecting yourself is really about, for me, it's about noticing, am I being hypervigilant right now? How can I protect myself? Again, creating that internal safety. It's about setting boundaries, right? Protecting yourself through setting boundaries, which boundary setting just sometimes for me, it's taken years to really develop that capacity to protect myself in that loving way and set boundaries in a way that helps me protect my capacity to love others.
Oh, boundaries. It's that could be a whole different conversation for another time. But okay, so that's the P. And then are we on, I think we're on A.
A. So A is a line. And this is, so now we are into the fourth letter. So we're now coming into alignment with, you know, alignment with our true selves. Like what are our priorities? What is it we really want in this one short life? You know, this is my life. I get to do it my way. What is it? Am I living in alignment with what's really important to me? What's true to me? You know, this means saying no to things and saying yes to things. So getting in that kind of, you know, mental, spiritual, emotional, physical alignment with the person that you want to be. And again, this is creating that sense of trustworthiness that we're not wanting to live one way, but living another way. We're really coming into that alignment. And that's really also about integration. I think the experience that I had was that I was like different people, like the person that I showed to the outside world. And then the person who was, you know, drinking and the person who was, so that kind of chameleon, people pleasing, you know, where you feel really just like split into different people. It's really about coming in alignment. It's also about integrating all the parts. And so all the parts are communicating with each other and are, you know, you're feeling comfortable in your own skin. You're feeling like you're actually just one person.
It sounds a little bit like values work. Is that kind of what it is? Alignment?
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, so because I like that you were saying alignment is about living. You said something like living as the person that you want to be, about like what's important to your life. Yeah. And like, that's what I call values. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you want to be, if you want to live your life from a place of, you know, I get a lot of clients who say authenticity and or courage. It's like, well, and I always say, like, you know, your values are never wrong. And some people think like, well, I can't have that on my list because I've been, you know, drinking too much and people pleasing and perfectionism. And I am codependent and I won't have hard conversations. And so, but it's like, okay, well, those were your coping mechanisms that served you. I know there's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, which I, you know, have my beef with them and with some things, but some of their sayings are amazing. And one of them is, it works until it doesn't. Sometimes like people pleasing works, you know, you learned it in childhood because you had to and it works. And now it doesn't because you're an adult and you are wanting to be more in alignment.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the fawn response. I'm so glad you brought that up because we can think about it in our childhood. Did we go into freeze? Did we go into flight? Did we go into fight? Did we think we could actually fight back? Or do we go into fawning and just understanding with compassion that those are just, you know, stress or trauma responses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to circle back to one thing we were talking about before. You said the feelings wheel. I'm just going to let y'all Google that because there's so many great ones. There's one particular one and you can buy like pillows. Like my therapist's office has it on a pillow, the feelings wheel. So yeah, just do a quick Google search for feelings wheel and you'll see it. It's very eye-opening about all of the feelings. Okay. So the A is a line. And then what is the, so this is the second R.
The second R is reimagine. So this is where we get to reimagine our lives as we want them to be. So again, just working on like, here I am now in whatever, my adult body, and I reimagine what would my life be like if I was truly reparenting myself. So this is kind of like lost dreams, the wishes and dreams that you had as a child, or maybe that you never had. and that you want to have now, and really allowing yourself to have to be in that dreamlike place, and maybe pursue passions that you let go of. Like, you know, I'll hear people say, like, I used to paint a lot as a teenager, or I always wanted to XYZ. So this is really about reimagining and tapping into that intuitive place, the place that, that where our dreams are.
I assume that during this phase of the process, you might get people who feel grief around a childhood that they never had, or they weren't allowed to have, or that they didn't allow themselves to have. Does that happen a fair amount?
I am so glad you brought up grief. Grief is a huge part of it. I'm just going to say right now, reparenting is not easy. It's so much better.
You mean it's not, they're not signing up for fun?
Like, reparenting yourself is life-changing and it's so worth it, but there are, there's grief work. That's what it is, really. It's grief work. I'll just tell a little story, side note. I have a sister who's also doing inner child work and reparenting, and she came up with the idea of bereavement camp because we lost our dad when we were little. I was 8, she was 4, and we never went, you know, we weren't taken at the time. I don't even know if it existed to any type of like counseling or, you know, bereavement or grief help. And so she came up with this idea of bereavement camp for our little kids. And, you know, we just can kind of playing around with that. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? You know, we've Googled bereavement camp and what are some of the activities, and some of them we
They have it. I saw a TikTok about it.
Yeah, now it exists. I follow that. Yeah. I follow a bereavement camp that feels really nurturing for me to follow things that, you know, like the school that I went to from second to fifth grade. I follow them. You know, like you, there's ways that you can really nurture yourself. So this idea of bereavement camp is to understand that there is unexpressed grief. And then the other thing you said is important is like, what about those lost dreams of the childhood you didn't have? I spent a long time in that place, and I think it's okay to spend a long time in a place of blame or a place of anger, a place of like, what if, you know, my dad hadn't died and he was a scientist and I would have received more help with math, and maybe my, you know, like all these kind of what ifs. I think it's okay to kind of explore them and exhaust them and just feel really sad about them. And then finally, when it's natural to come to a place of acceptance, like that's not what happened. I think that's, you know, merging out of denial is when you get to just let it play out.
I like that. I agree with you that it's okay to have whatever feelings you need to have around things that didn't happen. It just, the container, you know, just watch out for the container. That's why it's good to do this like with a therapist, or, you know, like the really deeper work is just so you don't get stuck there and live there and then base your behavior on it. And so thanks for sharing that. That's really interesting. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So what, that was the second R, and we are on the letter E.
So E is embody. So now we're at the place where we've learned about reparenting. It's kind of stayed up here in the head space, in the mind. We're dropping now into our body. We're really embodying what it looks like to reparent ourselves on a daily basis. So these are just in small ways, you know. There's so many different fun activities you can do to really get yourself in touch with your inner children, your inner teen, your inner child. And so maybe that is picking up a paintbrush and doing some painting. Maybe that's Googling the top 100 songs when you were in fifth grade and dancing in your living room.
Ooh, I like that one.
Maybe there was a favorite thing that you like to play with, or food, or something that is nostalgic for you, or just going outside, walking barefoot in the grass, or going outside at night and looking at the stars. So this is a real embodiment of, dropping from the mind into the body. So the embodiment of reparenting yourself. So grounding yourself, integrating, feeling more settled and safe in your own body.
I imagine that like yoga, meditation, or some other, I was going to say popular ones. Like, I don't know if they're popular, but like common modalities and methods to integrate that particular lesson. And it's interesting. And I think a lot of us, And by I say us, because, you know, me too, we like to stay up in our head about it. We like to intellectualize the work. Mm-hmm. I think that's why so much of Brené Brown's work resonates with me, because it's like, okay, I can learn the step-by-step process. I can talk about it. I can teach it. I can think about it. But when it actually comes to integrating it, that's actually why there's a lot of art projects and creative projects within the Brené Brown work. That's their way of embodying it. And I get a lot of pushback with that mm-hmm. with my clients. Mm-hmm. They either totally skip it, and they come back to a session and they're like, I didn't do it. And I was like, okay, we do some coaching around it. They do end up doing it in some way or another. But I'm glad that that's part of the work, because the somatic part of it is so important. It really can't be skipped when you're doing this kind of deep work.
Yeah. And I find that it just happens, you know, just suddenly they're like, oh, I reparented myself in this moment, or I really, you know, I suddenly paused and I got in touch with that inner, and you know, whatever that looks like. So you're starting to feel the reparenting in your body.
Exactly. It's the feeling in your body. We're gonna take one more ad break, and then when we get back, we're gonna finish up the last two.
Oh, hey everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board, so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Okay, so we are on we can smell the barn. So we are on N, right? What is N?
N is nurture. So like I said before, you've got the, you know, protection, the nurture, guidance. So nurture is about caring, really learning how to care for yourself. I know that I, you know, would hear about self-love, or someone would ask me like, what are you doing to take care of yourself? You know, when I was like knee deep, you know, with three kids and drinking my wine at night, I was like, are you kidding me? Who has time for bubble baths?
An entire bottle of wine. That's what I'm doing.
That was my self-care. Exactly. And who has time for bubble baths or yoga classes, I used to think, you know, so like that, this idea of nurturing or nurturing yourself really is about getting in touch with the inner child. And then it becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier to do the things that you want to do when you know that you're protecting her. I use she, her pronouns. So when I'm protecting her, I'm much less likely to pick up a drink, because I'm not going to give little Sabelle the alcohol, right? When I'm protecting her, it's much easier to set boundaries, because I'm doing it for
100%,
her. Yeah. So this is this exquisite self-care, the same kind of care you would give a newborn baby or little puppy, or just that exquisite nurturing. And nurturing is really about feeding. So you could say feeding your soul, feeding yourself physically.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Feeding your mind. What do you, you know? And so it's that taking care of piece that is really hard to do. And it's kind of like, how do I even do that? And it just becomes mm-hmm. much more natural once you get kind of attuned to your own inner self.
I'm sure it helps a little bit more because this is towards the end. So you've learned things about yourself, about what's working, what feels extra nurturing. Yeah, what feels extra nurturing. So that's I love that. Okay. And then the very last one, what is T?
The last one is trust. And this is what's kind of been a theme throughout all of them, is developing this self-trust, right? So this is about being consistently consistently reparenting yourself. And what I really want to emphasize, this is not about adding more to your plate. This is not adding something to your to-do list, like, oh, on top of it all, now I have to repair it myself. This should be something that's very easy and small and simple, as simple as you notice yourself getting activated in a family situation mm-hmm. and you just pause and you put your hand on your heart and you take a deep breath, or you take a 5-minute break and go into the bathroom and just ground yourself. Or yeah. you say no to the thing and stay home in your pajamas. You create a safe place in your house where you have a weighted blanket and dim lighting and pretty music. So it's just really yeah. about, doing something that's simple, and it's building that trust. So the T is for trust, learning to trust yourself, that you have now become a trustworthy adult to yourself.
I love this so much. I didn't know this acronym before we got on this call. Like, I knew that, you know, you did this work and I knew some of the aspects of it, but I didn't know it step by step. And I'm just so honored to not only hear it from you, but to be able to introduce it to everyone here. I want to just say one thing about really the whole method, because you said, you know, sometimes we're in family situations where we get activated. Oh God. So, you know, speaking of parts work too, I find that as a facilitator of this work, you know, someone who is very seasoned, experienced, trained, up to my eyeballs, and because I live it and breathe it, it's easy for me to, I've developed a part of myself that I call the expert part of me. And I imagine me with like different hats on. So this particular hat that I have on, many times it's easier for me to come at particular difficult family situations, whether it's my family of origin or other family members, with that expert hat on, because it allows me to remove my inner child. It allows me to remove like the hurt part of myself, the triggered part of myself. But it is like a piece of armor that I wear. But what's also interesting is that when I drop in, like literal physically with my family, how quickly that hat gets thrown in the trash. I don't just take it off. It's like in the landfill. And I immediately resort back to being the youngest of five, the one who always felt like she never was allowed to grow up. And everyone just kind of like pats her on the head. Like, isn't Andrea cute? Like, you know, the entertainer, et cetera, et cetera. And how all of my tools go out the window. And how quickly I get my feelings hurt. Mm-hmm. How quickly I take things personally. How quickly I resort to just being completely tool-less, strategy-less. Like, and so I say all of that to just, you know, relate to those of you who find yourselves, you know, this is coming out around the holidays. So if you're in that setting and you get activated, you get triggered, to have, and I love that you said, you know, you just put your hand on your heart, because what I have found it's about, now that I've interviewed so many people who are somatic practitioners, it is about calming your nervous mm-hmm. system. Like at the end of the day, all of this work is about calming your nervous system. And so when you have exercise, even if it's just as simple as putting your hand on your heart, that can make all the difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that you're suddenly healed, but it's like it's grounding, and it's just, it's nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I've actually thought that, like, really all this is about feeling safe in your own body, about self-regulation. Mm-hmm. And because otherwise we're up in our heads and our heads are in the past or the future. You know, that's Byron Katie, in the past or the future, in the dream state, and we're not in the present moment. We are that five-year-old. And I also just want to say, like, with the family, with our whatever, you know, our either our birth family or the family that we've created in our adult life, that's a high need relation. Those are high need relationships, so right? So that's where it's the hardest, for sure.
I found that to be so much with parents and siblings. And how quickly I personally drop into, it's almost like I find myself, like, even the pitch of my voice changes. Mm-hmm. And that I drop into this place of almost like desperation.
Mm. With family of origin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I'm desperate for you to hear me. I'm desperate for you to see me. I'm desperate for you to understand me. And that is, I don't know if dangerous is, and by dangerous, I don't mean that other people put me in danger. I put myself in danger in those places because I become incredibly vulnerable. I don't say the right things. I put all of my feelings on them and my expectations on them to hear me, to understand me, to listen. And I think part of my work is, you know, I talk about this a lot and how the goal isn't to never go to those places. The goal is to recognize quickly that you're in it so that you can utilize the tools that you have, that you learn on this podcast, that you read about in books, that you learn in workshops and with coaches and therapists, so you can heal yourself, so you can nurture yourself, so all of that. So yeah, hopefully that helps people feel seen, understood, because me too.
100%. And I will say, like, I love that example because that helps you tune into, you know, what is one of the wounds. So everybody has, like, a different, you know, misunderstanding or story, or, you know, nobody hears me, nobody listens to me. That's one of mine, right? And so the first promise that I made to my inner child from my inner loving place was, I will always listen to you. The second one was, I will always protect you, because I did not feel protected. So it's great to notice. It's wonderful to notice, what are the things that are coming up for me? What's the messaging? And what do I want from other people? And then you can give that to yourself and let your, you know, inner child know, hey, we're going to go into this situation. You don't have to go. You can nap. You can be drawing in the corner. I'm going to handle this, and we're not going to stay long. And no matter what, I will always listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so key. Just this last part that you said is figuring out what it is that you're deeply, deeply needing and wanting, or that, you know, in the past that you did, and probably still in this moment as an adult. And I want to say this, I want to make sure that we say this before we close up. And this is never intended to blame or shame parents. I'm a firm believer that they did the best that they could. As a parent myself, I constantly worry that I am, like, setting up my children for trauma. And the truth is, I am. Like, I could have the best intentions. I could have all the tools. I could be the best in this business, and it does not matter. Mm-hmm. Like, my children are going to experience how I show up in the world, how their father shows up in the world, how other people show up in the world. They're going to have their own experience, and they're going to need probably different things that I make up that they need that they can't even articulate yet, you know, that they're not going to know until they're adults. So I've always said this, like, no matter how hard I try, they're going to end up talking about me in therapy someday. And I just need to accept it and just do the best I can and learn to clean up any messes that I have made. And when the time comes for them to tell me about their experience, hear them and do my best to understand them without being defensive, without blaming, and just understand. Because I think that's the part that I think that's the part that so many of us don't get as adults. Like, when we try to articulate, you know, and we're not blaming, like, this is what I experienced. Mm-hmm. We get defensiveness, we get blame, we get dismissal. Mm-hmm. And then we're just re-triggered and back to where we started. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that, like, as a parent who has parents, that's my big opinion on that.
I love that you're saying that. And I want to reiterate that this work is not about, you don't have to immediately go to forgiveness. It's about really taking, it's called in Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families, which is a 12-step program. Mm. They call it taking a blameless inventory, where you really just look at your family tree and see how it couldn't have been any other way. And all this stuff just gets passed down. And then Kelly McDaniels often says, don't use the work of mother hunger to blame yourself if you are a parent yourself. So if you have children, this, the idea is not to use this, these ideas to continue to beat yourself up, but 100%. And I've had this opportunity because my children are now adults. And so I've had this opportunity of, like, when they're coming to you with, you know, their true, real experiences from the child, from childhood. And I do not do this perfectly. I do feel mm-hmm. defensive inside. I do feel like, what?
Sure.
I tried so hard yeah. and I was trying to, you know, but the best thing I can do is just to stay quiet, stay really present, and just get curious about their experience and appreciate that they want to let me know.
Appreciate yes.
that we have that connection.
Appreciate that they want to let you know. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. We are out of time, and I would love to have made this, you know, 30 minutes longer. So tell people how they can learn more about this particular work and then anywhere else that you want to send them.
So my website is my name, sabelbotron.com.
And that'll be in the show notes. Mm-hmm.
And I am offering this year different reparent groups. By the time this comes out, there will be two groups starting in January. So people can, there's one on Wednesdays and one on Sundays. People can find that. I'm also now a Mother Hunger trained facilitator, and I'll be offering.
Oh, neat. I didn't know that they had that. Awesome.
Yeah. I just completed, it was a 12-month program with Kelly McDaniels. So now I'm offering educational introductions to Mother Hunger kind of courses. And then I also have my inner child class for beginners.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Should people start with the inner child class for beginners?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And we'll put all of those in the show notes so people can go. And I, you know, I endorse your work. I don't say this. I say this about very, very few people I have on the show because I don't know intimately people's work who I have on the show, but I absolutely endorse your work. I think it's so, whether you're someone in recovery or not, this is not recovery focused, right?
No, in fact, a lot okay. of people that come to me are, I tend to get people who are either sober or sober curious, but that doesn't mm-hmm. have to be your thing.
Okay. It doesn't take up a lot of the space in the program.
No, not at all. In fact, it okay. doesn't actually really come up. People are in different places as far as substances or whatever they're curious about. So that's mm-hmm. not a requirement.
Because we're all recovering from something.
Exactly. I will say it is for self-identified women and non-binary folks who identify with women's community.
Okay. That's the majority of my listeners anyway. So thank you so much for being here. It's been just an honor to hear more about your work. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so incredibly grateful for your time. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. I would be so incredibly grateful if you haven't done so already, if you could leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Super easy if you already listen to your shows over there. But if you don't, or maybe you have the app on your phone, but you listen to the show on a different app, if you could leave a review for this show, it matters so much. I wish I could express how much it matters. I also wish that it didn't matter so much, but alas, it does. So if you haven't already, please go review and rate the show. It would mean so much to me. And thank you so much. I hope you have an amazing day.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.